go to Mark chapter 4.
If Brian does show up, chew his ass out. He likes that.
Why do you think he married?
Yeah.
Like father, like son-in-law. No, like father-in-law, like son-in-law. From what, in searching the scriptures and doing everything we've done for billions of years, the emphasis on is twofold, really, in terms of practical aspects of the gospel. One is that it has to be a situation in which there is no effort required by the human race, because the human race is incapable of anything worthwhile. And the other is that it's, if assuming the conditions are right, that the mystery of God, the mystery of the gospel, is automatic. That our attempts to help only hinder. In fact, our attempts to help probably, at least they stop for periods of time. The parable that Jesus uses in this regard is called the parable of the sower, and its companion or pendant is the parable of the seed. This parable is one of the few that's in three of the four Gospels. And it's in Matthew 13 and Luke 8, but we're going to look at it from the standpoint of Mark in Mark 4, because it has both the parable of the sower and the parable of the seed as its pendant in the same chapter. So, are we at Mark 4? Everybody, did I say that? And he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea and the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine or in his teaching, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass..." Wait a minute. Hearken is one of these things. We got to stop here. I got to explain hearken. Hearken, it isn't, it's not like hark, hearken. It's now really, really pay attention. It's like when it says, "And it came to pass," and in the Talmud it says, whenever it says "it came to pass," something momentous is going to happen. Either if it's for good, it's very, very good. If it's for evil, it's incredibly evil. Or when Jesus used double words, you know. But it's also here now, it says hearken. That means concentrate your energies. It's like, it's the New Testament form of the Shema. Hear, O Israel. Hear. Hear with understanding. Hearken. "Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, or the others, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Just think about what he just said. He said all these things are a mystery, are not understandable, lest at any time they should be converted, lest at any time they should be healed, lest at any time they should hear. When the Jews and many evangelical Christians use that passage, they don't say lest at any time. Do you understand what he's saying? He's saying he does not want the masses to understand, because they'll try to understand with their mind instead of their debt.
It's almost like Christ himself is this mystery that they've been shown, and if anybody, like, nothing can happen without him, so all this stuff had to happen.
Yeah, wasn't Judas the only one that denied Christ? Every single person in Jerusalem denied him. And he's denied because he doesn't meet your expectations. If you have any expectations, he's not going to meet them. Right?
When it says all these things are done in parables, is it the best the mind can apprehend the mystery? It's out there and there's a pattern?
Well, you're hearing it with the wrong emphasis. It could be better equally said, all these things are done in a mist, or all these things are done secretly, or
because in a way that your mind doesn't catch it, it passes through your mind or over your mind. That's not where it was.
All right. And he said unto them, know you not this parable, and how then will you know all parables? And what, if you understand what I believe, the key, the
cornerstone
to understanding all mysteries. If you don't understand this parable, you'll understand none. You'll understand nothing about the kingdom of God. Okay. The sower soweth the word. In another place it says the sower is God. The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. These are the first ones. Some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. And it came to pass, he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, you know, it's not some being outside themselves that's coming and taking it away. It's this minion of Satan. It's this antichrist, your mind, that takes it away by trying to cause you to forget it, to place some stupid kind of interpretation on it, which requires your effort. Then the night I was watching on No. I was watching, what's that show I used to like? I still like NYPD Blue. And they had a suspect that was this bookie, con man, money lender. And he came in and he had become a promise keeper. Yeah. And I'm my life is new. I'm I've given my life to Jesus Christ. And Sipowicz says, so when did this happen? And he said something, day before yesterday. And Sipowicz says, well, you know, I don't remember his exact words, but in essence it was, come back and talk to me in 2 years and I'll find out. But, the point is, all the sower soweth the word. The word was sown on the Feast of Pentecost, and the word is that sperma of God, the Logos of God, that was shed on all flesh. The human race is the flesh. I mean, is the soil into which the seed was sown. It's no accident that the human body is exactly the same as in terms of its 70% water, the same mineral and physical component as the surface of the earth is.
Dirt.
And then the next one is, it says, some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root, it withered away. And then this is Christ's explanation of that. And these are likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. You know, it's become a cliche around here. Somebody says to me right away, this is what I've known forever. I've known this all my life. You know, but this is my... But blah, 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 blah. You know, bye. I know you're leaving pretty soon. They receive it with gladness, but it has no root. They endure for a while, but when persecution or affliction arise because of the word or for the word's sake, they are offended. It's never the word that offends them. It's somebody. Unfortunately, it's normally me. Should be. Should probably be Josanna is the one that really should be the one that offends everybody.
She does a pretty good job.
Defends her here.
Hold on.
And immediately they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. After when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And then the next one is, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and yielded no fruit. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Now, how many times have you been in danger of that since the day you became a believer? And if it hadn't been for the mystery of God, for His Holy Spirit, for the communion of the brethren, for the preaching of the cross that came in and weeded the field, if you will, that these thorns would have choked the word. And how many times have we seen it? And the last one is, another fell on good ground, and yielded fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bringeth forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. Now, this is the parable of the sower. And those four classes of conditions are what we see. Now the question is, what is the 30, 60, and 100? I'm convinced that it's the number of people that can hear from that source. It's not money. It's not a hundredfold blessing. You're sowing your seed isn't giving your money to somebody. because God has already sowed the seed. Now, the next thing we're going to look at here is then, that was the parable of the sower, if you will. Now is the parable of the seed. Let's go down to verse 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Now, this refers to the disciples as the ground or the fertile soil in verse 20. Here in the Greek, the word seed is preceded by the definite article. So it's the unique seed, the seed of, that's the mystery of this whole book, that's the mystery of the universe, the seed, the sperma of God. So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and he should sleep and rise night and day. Sleep and rise are in the present tense, denoting continuous or progressive action. So it should be sleeping and rising, sleeping and rising, sleeping and rising. And the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. Now, it's suggestive of the monotonous life of a man who has nothing particular to do beyond waiting patiently for the results of what has already been done. Can you see? That's why waiting and love are the same thing. Because you're patiently, you know, as you received him, so walk you in him. You received him in a state of total moral and physical and spiritual bankruptcy, total failure, emptiness. As you received him, so walk you in him. You're sleeping and rising, sleeping and rising, day after day, day after day. You're just sort of doing whatever your hand finds to do, meeting need as you see it happen. But the process of sleeping and rising, and what happens, you have no idea how it's happening. And in fact, if you did have an idea how it was happening, you would certainly mess it up. Right? Sleeping and rising, sleeping and rising. Now, and it should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. It should be sprouting and growing. The seed should sprout and grow, he knoweth not how. The emphasis is really on the how. How, he knoweth not. The mystery of growth, whether it's of this spiritual or the natural, still puzzles scientists. How could that happen? We're running out of time. I'm going to get chewed out in a minute. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. The earth bringeth forth fruit automate. Or automatically, self-move, spontaneous, without external aid, and also beyond external control, with a way and will, so to speak, of its own, that must be respected and waited for. This is why Jesus said, if you understand this mystery, you'll understand all mysteries. How can you get impatient about something you see when the only important thing that's going on in your life is that which is beyond your control, beyond your influence even? Should spring and grow up, you knoweth not how. And the earth should bring forth fruit of herself, automate in Greek, automatically.
You said it was monotonous. It is in the sense that there's no highs and lows. It's like not today. Today, Jesus is really growing.
We're having a special anointing service.
Yesterday, it was just, he was just lagging. things weren't coming along. But that's not true.
No, it's monotonous from the standpoint of the senses. If you trust the senses for your being, then it would be monotony.
It's a monotone.
What?
That's all we do. Trust our senses.
That's the whole dilemma.
Who does? Everybody.
If I trusted my senses, I wouldn't be here.
Well, I mean,
that's the human race.
The inclination, yeah.
Here he often speaks in parables, so you have to figure out what he's saying.
The earth brings forth fruit automatically. The nature of the soil, the weather, all enter in, but the secret of the mystery of growth is the seed itself. First, the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First, the blade. The blade is chortos, or the first fruit. Then the ear. The ear is stachys. It's the covering of the grain. And then the full corn in the ear. The full corn is cytos, the grain itself. So it's first the blade, then the covering, then the grain itself. The single fact. The automatic creates the confidence, the faith shown by Jesus in the ultimate establishment of his Father's will, despite all obstacles. And the fact is that everything necessary for the end to come was completed. It was completed certainly by the time of James and Paul. I heard this guy. I wish you wouldn't have mentioned religious television because you can't get it out of my mind now. I did watch Perry Stone, or whatever the hell his name is. He is the most pompous ass I have ever seen. And he's trying to explain the rapture and then the scriptures that contradict the rapture. And it's like he got into the most convoluted. And then I'd love to debate him. I mean, it's just. These guys are just crazy because they keep saying, well, once this happens over here, essentially this is what they're saying. Once that temple is built in Jerusalem, then you've got to really watch out.
In the meantime,
you've got to take over the world. As our friend Pat Robertson says, the media is ours. The businesses are ours. We've got it. We will own it all. Why not? Waiting. The one group says they've got to just sort of. Never mind. I don't want to get in that. I'll get all ticked off again. Those two mysteries, the parable of the sower and the parable of the seed, if you can hear them, you finally know then that this mystery of God, all it takes is the soil that is the fertile soil, which means it's got a lot of fertilizer in it.
Certainly a lot of fertilizer around here.
Yeah. All the crap that happened in our lives is there for the fertile soil for this thing to take place of itself. It's already
there. But. And then I read yesterday about Joel Osteen's church. They've taken over the Astrodome in Houston, and they're explaining. He's explaining the growth by saying that the message is that showing people how to be victorious. You know, I mean, it's just the gain is godliness.
You know, I see why. Nice to have an explanation anyway, but I see why they had to make the parable of the sower about money. Because if they made it about lives, about, you know, other grains of wheat that were created, then you would have to come to the inescapable conclusion that 100 people who hear from what you say is a successful life, an entire lifetime of success is just 100 people. I mean, as good as it's counted right there. And these guys go after, you know, fill the Astrodome. I mean, what do they think they're doing? If God's standard of success is 100, you know, what do they think they're doing by filling the Astrodome? They're trying to make God out to be a liar? Are they?
Well, they try. What they do is they take what happened on the Feast of Pentecost when 5,000 heard. And they say it's because of Peter's preaching. Then they take the scriptures and greater things than these will you do. I mean, you can make it do anything. They don't understand that that was God that was preaching, and that was so that His mystery would be in every place of the Jewish nation, all over the world, of the Jewish people all over the world.
The modern equivalent would be the Church of Peter. It's got to be focused at the arena. Think about 20,000 people in the arena. The flip side of that is one man on the stage. I mean, it's a giant cult of personalities.
Well, but the point of it is what breaks my heart is I know what happens. I know human nature. I know that the people, you know, they go there and get their spiritual fix, and then they're still dying alone. I mean, that they don't have the vulnerability. They don't have the, you know, what, I'm not saying that we have it either, but we've certainly got it available.
And the
total inability for them to truly confess, they have to put on a face. They have to act. And I pray that you're not acting.
In that article you're talking about, one of the major draws that they identified was the anonymity of the worship.
Yeah.
In such a big crowd, you just disappear, and that's what people want.
Me and Jesus. This historian at the beginning of last century said this incredible thing. We have this. What you remember? What I just forgot the quote.
You sent it to me.
I know.
It was like
and the priest
has been steadily expanding or something, but the
theology
has
is bankrupt.
The jury rating, yeah, bankrupt.
And that's what we see. I mean, the theology that's being preached today, for the most part, is bankrupt. And the religion, the attendance is massively increasing. What?
Henry Steele Commager.
That's right.
And you got to believe him because the guy has
three names. You know what we should start doing? It's John Moreland Rutledge from now on. John Moreland.
Or even better is, like, there's a guy at Baylor who's like one of the founders, and his name is like R.E.B. Baylor or something. So he had like four total.
What about President Bush's father? George Herbert Walker Bush. Can you beat that? Huh?
I prefer a hyphen any day.
You prefer a hyphen?
Like Rice Davies.
Liam McShane has the best.
Yeah, that is pretty impressive.
What does Liam have?
I don't
know,
but
yeah, I think
he has a lot of names.
Liam.
Joshua.
Liam, Joshua.
Then we got
them
all.
It's your fault. We were right on target. We were like a laser beam. Now we're over time, and we're way off subject. And it's somehow
if Wade hadn't been writing down what we're talking
about, it's Skippy's fault. All right, does everybody, from the understanding of the parable of the seed and the parable of the sower, and seed.
It's good to read those on a regular basis.
Yes. All right.
When you talk about how it happens automatically, I always think of the biology class where we talked about not to mess with the seed, not to move your tendency is to get the ground out of the way so the seed can come up. Or the eggshell, you want to, chickens hatching, and you want to break it open so it's easier for them. But all that's necessary for a healthy plant or chicken.
Now, I've told the story a million times, but the first time I was old enough to understand gardens and seeds were, my mother and father planted a garden in the backyard. And I was so proud of myself because I planted the watermelon. Seeds. I went out and dug them up to make sure, see whether they were growing or not.
<You're okay.
laughs> Well, the point of this is it's this mystery of movement and growth without consciousness. And the only thing that can hinder that is consciousness of self or of the process. You know, that's why if you think you're a disciple, you're probably not one. If you think you're doing some good, it's assured that you're not. I mean, you can see why the whole mystery of God is about emptying, about humility, about no labels. But it's not just about not having them outwardly. It's about not having. I mean, it's more, the inward is where it's at. But the outward just expresses what's going on inwardly anyway. We are truly a peculiar people. And that's about the only thing we can say amen to this morning.
Amen.
What? You're about to speak.
It was just smart ass
remarks. So what's you're about, as I said, you're about to speak.
Is this open top?
Go ahead.
Kevin was about to open his mouth.
Kevin, go ahead.
I made an earlier comment and I'll stick with that.
Go ahead. Now it's your turn. What?
Something about peculiar people having multiple names.
You shouldn't have told me.
Yes. Thank you for withholding.
Thank you. Next time I'll respect your withholding.
Yeah. Little sign that says thank you for not bubbling.
Yeah. Thank you for not prophesying. Take it, big guy, quickly.
Schedule. Tomorrow.
Yeah.
We are
not having a Bible study. But
Friday we are. How about that?
Tomorrow's canceled. Friday, we are having a Bible study. Friday, here. 7:30, Friday, here.
Right here.
And what are we doing tomorrow?
No Bible study. We just said, no Bible study.
Sleep in.
We're going to grow.
Sleep in.
Get in, get out.
All that grit hitting on here.
Sleep and rise tomorrow.
All right. Is there any aspect? Is there any meetings for New Year's Eve or anything like that?